This is Bump and Stacey
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
Here we go now.
Hey, Bump, when you were doing training camp with the Seahawks, was there anyone that you knew, like any teammates that you already knew, or did you feel like all alone and by yourself?
No, I was dolo. Just me.
Was that intimidating?
No, man. These, you're there for a reason. Win a spot. Get a job.
Yeah,
I went to school in Washington, so there were some homies on the west side that I could hit up, though.
Yeah, I've never done a Seahawks training camp as a player myself. The only thing I can think of is college when I went there, and I didn't know anyone when I went there for my high school. And not that people from my high school didn't go, I just didn't know them. And I think it would be kind of cool, Nehemiah, being at Seahawks training camp with not just someone who went to his school and who was a player at his school, but literally his teammate, like a fellow corner, someone you played opposite of.
Yeah, that's a blessing right there, man.
You know?
I could imagine going and having Brandon Gibson or Jason Hill on the squad and getting into the huddle and being able to, feel that comfort zone. But it ain't supposed to be comfortable. Even though he got his boy out here, I'm sure there's some newness to the situation for
him. Yeah, well, God, imagine if they, like, hated each other. I'm not brave enough to ask Nehemiah, like, hey, are you secretly bummed DJ's coming here too? Like, can you imagine if you worked with a coworker and you were like, I hate this person. I can't wait to leave. Oh, my God. And then you get away from them, and then they show up at your new job, and they're like, I was hired too.
You too?
Yeah, this is tight, right?
Wow,
this is great. And you're like,
us.
Oh, my God, I'll never escape.
Look at us. We made it.
That's not how you feel, right, Bump?
No, not at all.
Okay, great.
Nah, I was more, let me see what she really is like, because my interaction with you were just very brief.
Yeah.
And a little 10-minute phone call with you and Jake.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really get to know a person like that. So I went in just like, all right, here we go.
Something tells me DJ and Nehemiah know each other a lot better than we did when we first started as hosts. It's very, very cool. It is also interesting for them to be in the trenches together, because being, you were undrafted, but even being a day three guy, even as a draft pick, I'm sure it still feels like I got to prove myself.
Yeah. The only people who really have security are picks 1 through 3. They're going to get lots of opportunity. But even we've seen, the third pick get cut as well. Mm-hmm. But that's football in general. These guys aren't they're used to this. You always got to prove yourself. No one really has the red carpet rolled out for them unless you're a 5-star quarterback or something like that. Other than that, you got to go prove yourself. I wasn't a 5-star. I was like a 4.9 or something like that. And, you know, I didn't just go to the Palouse and the job was mine. I had to earn it and try to take it from someone who was older than me. Oh, yeah, it's that's just the nature of the beast. This is ball. But the thing that defensive players have an advantage over offensive players is that they're typically the ones who excel on special teams too. Mm-hmm. Offensive guys, if you're not catching the football and making plays, you can still make the squad. We've seen Jake Bobo go down and make plays when I was playing. Obomanu was making tackles out there. We've seen Derek Young go out there and do it. But typically, they look at defensive guys first on special teams because they know they're used to making plays in open field.
Is that where you expect to see Nehemiah and DJ get a lot of work early? Not just that, but maybe start the season?
Oh, yeah. That's where you make a name for yourself. You get the special team coach to fall in love with you, you're good.
I will say one of the coolest things I remember is looking back at, it was like a week 2, week 3, week 4, and Cam Chancellor and his first season on special teams as a rookie made a great play, and just hearing the call where at the time they clearly don't know what he's going to become is very cool. Maybe that's what we'll hear for some of these guys. Maybe we're going to hear a call about an amazing tackle by Nehemiah Pritchett on special teams, not knowing that he's going to become an all-pro eventually. Let's see. Cornerback Nehemiah Pritchett joining us right now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Hey Nehemiah, how's it going?
I'm good. How about you?
I am fantastic. We're so excited to just take a couple minutes to get to know you. I promise this is going to be the easiest interview you've ever done. It's going to be so fun. My first question is actually what it's like kind of being in camp. I'm sure you've gotten this before with DJ. I mean, it's already, I'm sure, kind of intimidating to be at any camp, but at least you know someone, right?
All right. Yeah, it's super cool. Just seeing him getting drafted. I mean, I texted him right away after I seen his name come across the screen, but it's been great having him come with me. He was someone that at Auburn I created a really strong bond with, and we were roommates throughout the season. We was roommates at the Senior Bowl. We was roommates at the Combine. So this really is just a blessing just to have him come with me.
Yeah, man, that had to be awesome. I came up here to Dolo, but I have some guys who lived around here, so we would hang out. I want to ask you about college, man. The Iron Bowl is something special. I make sure I tune in every single year. One of my good friends, Courtney Taylor, actually was drafted by the Seahawks out of Auburn, and he tells me stories about it. What is it like that week leading up to that game? Because I would assume there's some dudes you know on the other sideline who you're going to compete against.
Right. It'd be a super intense weekend. Just knowing we had to watch a lot of film coming up for that game. We had to put our best foot forward. And I think the preparation be the most important part for that weekend, just trying to get everybody on board, even the people that's out of town and don't really know as much about the rivalry. Kind of have to teach it to them and just kind of let them know what that game means to us.
Nehemiah, I have heard before some players from the SEC, it's the SEC, right? It's like the King Conference of college football, say, oh, I don't know if the pros are going to be that different. And then in the back of my mind, I always think like, oh, just wait and see. Do you feel that way? Or are you like, no, I can tell this is going to be something different?
I'll say it'll probably be a little different, but not as much, just because in the SEC, you're still going up against the great talent every weekend. But though some games, like the first 3 weeks, you don't really get that type of competition, which I know in the NFL, you will be getting it every single week. So I'll probably say that's the main part.
That's a good point.
Hey, when I was coming up, I used to watch the slot receivers go to work back in the day. You probably don't know these dudes. Maybe you do. Hines Ward, Wes Welker. Who did you watch at your position growing up, and who'd you try to emulate your game off? Obviously, you do you, Nehemiah, but who did you watch and say, you know what, I like his game?
I'll say I watched a lot of primetime. That was one of my role models growing up. Just see how he could take the ball away on defense. As you can tell on TV, sometimes he talked a lot of trash. And he's able to back it up. And so that was one of my role models growing up.
Hey, Nehemiah, I'm just happy you didn't say Richard Sherman, not because he's not a great person to watch tape of, but it would have made me and Bump feel really old. So you choosing primetime is good for us because he's also someone we watched when we were younger. So that feels good. What's it like? Had you been to Seattle before? What's it like being up here? What are some of your first impressions? You will not hurt our feelings. I know you're from the Southeast, so you will not hurt our feelings if you're like, it's a little cold.
I'll say the first day I came up there, the weather was beautiful, to be honest.
Yeah.
The past 2 days was kind of rainy, but it was beautiful. The first day I went up there, all of the water, it's a lot of water, beautiful houses, apartments. So it was cool the first day. I just want to get to explore it a little bit more and kind of see what the food like. I'll say that'll be my main next thing, to try the food.
Well, if you like seafood, you're in the right spot. I'm not a seafood guy, so I'm the dude ordering pizza at the buffet when you got all that seafood there. Hey, man, what do you think the biggest challenge is going to be? Well, let me change the question. When you play college football, practices are intense. It's different. You know what I mean? Like, the coach has got a hold of you for at least 3 years, four, maybe 5 years for some guys, and you grind. In the NFL, I'm not saying it's a softer practice, but it's easier, I feel like, as far as the contact. But what have you seen in the difference so far as when it comes to practice at Auburn and practice here in Seattle?
I'll say the practice in Seattle was just all about quality work. They don't waste any time on nothing they shouldn't be practicing on, I'll say. It's really more a safer practice because you can't really be as physical throughout the practice. Like, you can't go for balls that's in the air. You can't, what else? You can't touch receivers after a certain amount of yards. So I'll say just the less physical part and more mental.
Well, part of this interview, Nehemiah, is for us to just get to learn a bit more about you. Because once the season starts, all our questions for you are going to be boring. We're going to be like, so what happened on that play? How'd you get that interception? That's cool. And you're gonna be so bored with those questions. So instead, we want to know about you. Tell us what you're going to do in your spare time. You will have some spare time during the season. I promise. What's Nehemiah in his downtime do?
I say I like to play video games. I like to play Call of Duty, 2K, Madden. And I say I like to go bowling, too, during my free time. So I say those main two.
You a bowler, huh? What's your high score?
Probably like a 260.
What? 260? 260?
Yeah.
Nehemiah.
I took a bowling class my senior year at Auburn, so that's kind of how I fell in love with that.
That means them grades is right. You taking bowling senior year. You got everything else out the way and said, I'm going to do this. Well, this is what you need to do. You got to go to Lucky Strike if you haven't been there yet. I'm sure they've taken you there. But if not, you want the more like, you know, hole in the wall type of deal. Kenmore Lanes. Go to Kenmore Lanes.
Yeah.
And you get some work done there.
Make DJ go with you.
Make DJ go. Have when I was playing, see, I didn't get drafted. I was undrafted free agent. So that all these rookie deals. Y'all, rookies gotta pay for lunch, they gotta do this and do that. Have you been a subject to any of the rookie hazing that goes on in the NFL yet?
I haven't. Not yet.
Hold on to your wallet. Hopefully they take care of you.
Let me tell
you. They got to send it all towards Byron Murphy's way.
That's what
way.
I was going to say. If I'm Nehemiah, yeah. Nehemiah, if I'm you, and they tell the rookies to, I'm looking immediately at Christian and Byron, and I'm going, you guys got this? I'll put 20 in. Here we go.
Yep.
Hey, my last question for you. Are you an NBA fan?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Bump is a huge NBA fan. He is a Lakers fan, unfortunately. but he has been all in on the T-Wolves Nuggets series. What series are you especially interested in?
The same exact one, the Nuggets and the Timberwolves.
Yeah. Is it because of Anthony Edwards?
Yeah, man.
Right?
He plays with that dog in him. And that's what I like about him.
I love it. Did you happen to hear what Austin Rivers said about NBA, NFL? He said he can take 30 NBA players and they can play in the NFL. Crazy talk. He said you can't take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA. Crazy talk. I feel like a DB like you will be locked down on defense, good in the fast break. What are your thoughts on Austin Rivers comparing the two?
I disagree with his comment. I'm pretty sure you can take 30 out of the NFL and put in the NBA for sure.
Easy work.
All right, you taking T-Wolves to take Game 3? Bump took them 3-0 in this series.
Yeah, I'm gonna roll with the T-Wolves.
Man.
I think they on fire right now. I think they found out a way to stop Jokic, and dude, it's kind of been rough for the Nuggets lately. So we'll see.
All right, well, have fun through Let's the rest go. Of OTAs in camp. Have fun watching this series. He is Seahawks rookie cornerback Nehemiah Pritchett. Nehemiah, thank you so much.
Thanks, Nehemiah.
Thank you, guys.
He's a good kid.
Yeah.
Nehemiah can bowl.
You hear what he said to you?
What?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but I've been getting yes, ma'am.
Really?
Since I was, when I was.
If he saw you, he wouldn't say yes, ma'am.
Doug
to you.
Baldwin said yes, ma'am to me one time in an interview and is older than me. But he's from Florida. So
it's down south, man.
I will say one of the things that I was asked a lot when I was in a reporter, like in locker rooms, was the assumption that you face like a ton of sexism. I do think there's all kinds of, you know, sexism in the media industry. And I would argue it's even harder for women of color. But I've never gotten it from players.
No.
And I don't know if it's because a lot of players, by the time I was doing it, every player in that locker room has grown up seeing sideline reporters who are women, seeing women in sports in some capacity. Even if there aren't enough women analysts, they still see plenty of women. So it wasn't weird.
Yeah.
But even when I was 25, I was getting a lot of yes, ma'am.
Really?
And the one thing that I will always say is I always got at least a lot of respect and a lot of, like, I never had a horrible interaction.
You wanna hear some Bumpus family drama?
Yes.
So when I was a kid, my mom and dad split when I was 3 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my dad ended up spending like 25 years. He's still down there in Mississippi. He was in the military. I used to go visit my dad and my stepmom, and she would ask me a question. I go, yeah. Ask me a question, yeah, no. And she went and snitched on me. They're not scared anymore, so I can talk about it. She went and snitched on me. And, you know, she's from Louisiana, from the South. She goes, he's not saying yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no ma'am.
What.
And all that. I go, man, that's just the way I talk. And my dad laid into me, but you, sir, yes, sir. And I'm like, man, I'm from the West.
Manners are just different.
It is.
Not only is it yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, but it's Miss. What, you don't just say, okay, Stacy. It's that's Miss Stacy.
Miss Stacy.
Yeah.
It blew my mind. Different world.
All right, you guys. Thank you to Nehemiah Pritchett for joining us. Thank you also earlier to Scott Braun for joining us. Good guest today. I've really enjoyed both of our interviews. We're going to take a look around the NFL coming up in 15 right now. Let's get to Headline Rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one, in a letter to Kraken fans, team owner Samantha Holloway says, quote, later this summer, you'll hear more about our future Seattle ambitions as we roll out a parent brand that will umbrella the Kraken brand and prepare for other big opportunities. What's the real headline?
The letter was written to Kraken fans, but it's meant for Adam Silver.
Get her done, Adam. You know where you're going. Seattle and Vegas.
That's it.
That's the only places you can go.
I mean, there are, but
there
not
isn't.
Really. but...
Come
Fair
on
not.
Now, get this done. I've mentioned this plenty of times in this show, man. This is a basketball state. So many hoopers here. Fundamentals are on point. The jumpers are wet. I'm telling you, I had a rude awakening when I went to college at WSU and went to that rec, and there were so many hoopers out on the court. This is just the culture here, man. So it only makes sense that this city has a basketball team, and it will be supported, and it gives us something else to talk about. I'm all for it.
Can I ask both you and Curtis a question? You both follow college hoops and the NBA closer than I do. There is not always a direct positive correlation between having an NBA team, good or bad, and having a great college basketball program in that state. There's plenty that have either represented without the other. But do you think that at least at Washington, the basketball programs might have been better or had an easier time recruiting if there was an NBA team here? Because there's no guarantee that that NBA team is going to, take those players. But I think what I've noticed is that, like, there's a lack of a focus on a basketball culture that has dissipated over 15 years despite all the talent being here. That I don't think would have happened if there was still an NBA team.
That's an angle, but USC is still garbage and hoops in LA, and there's a basketball team there.
That's true.
You know, I think it's just a culture type thing. I think the culture kind of determines that, and the head coach. The head coach is everything. If he can't sit on your son or daughter's couch and convince you to go to a university, I don't care what team is around. You got to make them believe, and over the past few years, you haven't been able to do that here.
Headline Rewrites.
Headline number two, the NFL announced that their 2024 schedule will be released a week from today on Wednesday, May 15th. What's the real headline?
Ever the king of stretching things out, the NFL releases a schedule announcement about the schedule announcement.
Yeah, this is the NFL is king of controlling the offseason. No other league does it the way the NFL does it. NBA, we look for the lottery. All right, let's see what happens there. With baseball, it seems like guys go all the way into spring training until a week before the first game or a day before the first game before they sign. NFL gives you dates. Here's the draft. Here's rookie training camp. Here's voluntary. Here's mandatory. Here's the schedule release. Oh, fantasy football, August, get your drafts ready to go. NFL is king of the offseason and king of the regular season. They got a hold on us.
The home opponents for the Seahawks, obviously your three divisional opponents, Cardinals, Rams, 49ers. In addition, you are going to be facing the Packers, Vikings. You have the AFC East and NFC North, and then a couple other random opponents in there. The Packers, Vikings, Bills, Dolphins, Giants, Broncos. Of those teams, what's your dream week one opponent? Because you have a couple different angles you can take. You can go with a weekend team.
Top is on the road, right? Opening opponent?
No, these are all the home opponents.
Home, okay.
And then these are the roads. Let's pretend that they open at home.
All right, they open at home. I want to see the New York Football Giants. Drew Lock, bring him in. He's going to win that job. Daniel Jones be on the sideline, wide-eyed, bush-tailed.
I mean, if you're thinking about, I do not want to see the Dolphins in week one if you are at home. I don't want to see the Packers. I don't want to see the 49ers or Rams with the run game that those two could have. Mm-hmm. Well, that 49ers will and that the Rams could.
And the Rams picked Blake Corum, didn't they? From
sure
from
did.
Michigan. Yeah, buddy. They got a nice little 1-2 combo back there.
Now, if you're going to open on the road, there's a chance that you open against the Patriots or Falcons. You also are going to face the Bears, Jets, Lions. But I think that they maybe get a different matchup. Caleb Williams, week one, I feel like they're going to want some kind of like.
You know what I don't want to see? I don't want to see them open up with the Patriots in the road, because that means Curtis Stroh's in here hours after we've already been here looking all fresh and stuff. And I'm jealous. I've been here since 7, Curtis.
My day starts at 10, whether they're home or the road.
Curtis rolls in at 10. Like, what up, y'all?
What's up, guys?
When's lunch? What we eating?
A 10 a.m. start week one. Hey, how's everyone doing?
Love it.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number 3, Chiefs receiver Rashi Rice is a suspect in alleged assault that took place in a Dallas nightclub over the weekend. What's the real headline?
Rashi Rice needs to drop this habit of being involved in police investigations, which should be easy for a receiving group that led the league in drops last year.
Ooh-wee. Rashi Rice, man, you had an opportunity this offseason to be the guy, to be the number one receiver, number two option, because we all know Travis Kelce owns that. And then they went and drafted Xavier Worthy, I believe the Chiefs did. I mean, you were set up. 79 receptions, 938 yards, and 7 touchdowns, man. Sometimes guys is getting their own way. They don't have the right mentors around them. Why are you out on a Monday in the club, man? You can...
A Monday.
You know,
that
my grandpa told me, rest in peace, Pawpaw, man. I was getting in trouble in high school and doing the wrong things. And he was like, you can do all that by yourself, dude. You don't need people around you. You ain't got to broadcast it. Just get your stuff done. Do your stuff on the side. You good to go. Just do it at the house. Do it at the house. You have access to everything that's
over
at the club. Do it at the house, man.
I just don't. It's bad decision making. I didn't know that about his draft profile coming out, that there were some concerns about that.
Yeah, there were some concerns
about
that.
There's also, did you see the sideline video floating around of Patrick Mahomes?
Pat Mahomes, yep.
Yeah, and at the time, people were like, well, Patrick Mahomes is being really harsh on this guy. He's just a rookie.
Nah, forget that. Demand greatness.
Yeah.
Tom Brady did it. Demand greatness.
That's almost a separate issue of like, that in general, and I've been guilty of this too, people being like, oh, that's kind of harsh, that's kind of mean. And it's like, that player probably wants to be coached just like that.
Yeah, man.
I don't know about Rice, but.
Rice, I don't know. Everyone's different, right? But you would think that a guy like Pat Mahomes understands how far he can push guys.
Yeah.
He's not your average Joe out there. He's one of the future GOATs. He knows what he's doing.
Well, and one of the few who can yell at someone, you can be like, I mean, he's probably right. I mean, whatever he's saying is probably right.
Yeah.
You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Bump, you'll like this news. Austin Rivers is in shambles because someone just became the first NFL player to sign a professional basketball contract. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Bump and Stacey
on Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
Coming up in 15 minutes, CBS Sports released their quarterback power rankings, a controversial choice for number 2. Before we get to it, though, let's take a look around the rest of the NFL. Austin Rivers is in shambles. Well, because he said that you could take 30 NBA players and put them in the NFL. You could not take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA. Maybe you can take one NFL player and make him a professional basketball player. Former NFL wide receiver Devin Funchess now plays professional basketball in Colombia.
Count it.
Count it. It counts. It counts.
Count.
It does. It counts.
I'll go get a deal in Colombia right now. Probably not, but 10 years ago, maybe. NBA is the world's league. If you brought this up, if you're sitting with Austin Rivers right now and you're going back and forth, are you really going, but Funchess just signed in Colombia. Name me one team in Colombia.
Of course you got the...
The Snakes.
Yeah.
And then you got the...
Bogota.
The Bogota...
Medellin.
Pistons. Yeah,
Medellin.
The Medellin... Medallions. Medallions.
This is the Dragons. This is just for publicity. They're like, yeah, let's get an American football player and let's sign him. Let's fill these seats.
Okay, obviously you are not a huge fan of the Piratas.
Yeah, man, learn ball.
Yeah,
learn Colombian ball.
Be a ball knower for once in your life.
My bad.
Now, there is kind of a cool angle to this. Yes, it's not the NBA. He did become the first NFL player to sign a professional basketball contract of any kind, though, but here's part of why he did it. This is from Panthers.com, who interviewed him, obviously, as a former player for this. When he was young, he made his grandfather a promise that he would win a Super Bowl, play professional basketball, and then become a farmer.
Did he win a Super Bowl?
I don't actually know.
He played in one.
He played in one.
Okay. I don't think he won. Yeah. No, because he was with the Panthers.
He was with that. Was he with that 2015 team?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was with that 2015.
G-Pop is proud of that, though. He proud of that.
Yeah, so you appeared in a Super Bowl. That's more than a lot of players get to say.
More than 99.9.
You know?
Yeah.
You appeared in a Super Bowl. You played in a Colombian professional basketball league. Yep. I mean, this is still satisfying the requirement.
We're talking technicalities, but you're right.
Yeah.
Good for you, Funches.
Moving on. Per Albert Breer, the Patriots reportedly haven't satisfied the Rooney Rule in their hiring of Elliott Wolf as team GM. So here's what's happening. I don't know that Elliott Wolf has like officially been hired, but he's been the acting GM as the director of scouting. As you guys all know, Bill Belichick was both head coach and director of personnel, which wasn't officially the GM title, but no one was above him, and he didn't have an acting GM by his side telling him what to do. He was making these personnel decisions. That's been the case for 20-plus years. So with him on the move, Robert Kraft all of a sudden had to go out and find a new GM. They've decided to wait until after the draft, did not get that done early. Elliott Wolf oversaw the drafting process, as did Kraft. Now they've got to go out and find their GM. They reportedly, though, have not hired, despite Elliott being the clear favorite, have not hired two external candidates, minority candidates.
So this is where the Rooney Rule is just, it's kind of slap in the face at some point.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring them in. We have to. You know, that's like when, you know, the older brother has to bring the little brother along. You don't really want to do it, but you do it just to appease your parents, man. This is when it just becomes a mockery of the whole situation.
Was that part of Brian Flores' lawsuit that he felt like it was just to satisfy things?
Yeah.
Because it was when the, who was the other Brian that was hired? I'm completely spacing.
What
Brian
team?
Dable? Was
yeah,
it Brian
yeah,
Dable?
Yeah, Dable.
And then Bill Belichick accidentally revealed that by texting him congratulations.
Yep.
And then he realized, like, oh, I was literally just brought in so they could check a box. The problem is knowing who you want to hire before you interview. That's what makes it a slap in the face. Why don't you just open up your hiring process and say, hey, we know Elliott. We love Elliott. We trust him. We want the very best. And if we find someone outside of our building who's the very best, then we want that guy. But the problem is people already decide, and this happens outside of football. This happens in jobs everywhere. Many of you, this has happened in your job, where your boss or someone else decides, I want to hire this person before they even open the interview process, and it feels like everything else is just kind of a parade.
They'll tell you, you've been hired, but sit tight because we got to post this job real quick.
That's exactly what it is.
To fulfill requirements. It happens in business all the time. And here's the thing, it's not necessarily a bad thing because you already, a lot of business is based off of relationships and who you know. And there are people who get jobs who they aren't really qualified for, but they have a relationship with that person. That's why I tell my son, man, you shake hands, you meet people, you look people in the eye, and you put your best foot forward because you never know who you're going to meet and how they can benefit. Mm-hmm. That's just the way business works.
It's a sad day in the NFL.
What happened?
I hope everyone's sitting down. The Broncos have released quarterback Ben DiNucci.
Not DiNucci.
Molto triste.
Oh.
Yeah, we're very, very sad.
Ciao, Bella.
Ciao, Bella. They now have to get by with Bo Nix, Zach Wilson, and Jarrett Stidham.
Arrivederci.
You know, something tells me they're going to be okay. Here's a good thing about DiNucci. There's another league you can go to. You're not just kicked out the NFL anymore. The UFL will accept you. Now, not this year. What, 6-7 games in? By the way, UFL numbers, viewership has been on point. I think the last game this weekend had almost 1 million people watching it. They're showing that they're going to be around for at least another season. So, DiNucci, man, you've been around anyway. Go ahead and explore the UFL.
That St. Louis number was crazy to me. I had no idea that the attending audience was that high.
30,000.
And then I also regularly remember, like, oh, and yet another city where fans feel like their team was stolen. Even though the Rams originally relocated there, it's still, they were there for so long. There's an entire generation of fans that are like, oh, now we just don't have an NFL team.
Yeah, St. Louis, man, they're hungry for an NFL team.
Next up, in a podcast interview with Keyshawn Johnson, new Washington quarterback Jaden Daniels expressed regret over not winning more with an ASU team that had him, Brandon Ayuk, Ricky Pearsall, and Rashad White.
And so when you look at the guys that you had at ASU that has gone on now into the pros, when you look back at that talent level, what goes through your mind?
Man, we should have been Rose Bowl champions, Pac-12 championships. We had the talent.
They had the talent. There's a lot of teams like that, though, where you look back both in the pros and at the collegiate level where you think, hold up. This team had DK Metcalf and AJ Brown, or this team had, and then just two great players where you're like, they didn't, and how did they not get it done?
So what does it say if you have Pearsall, Daniels, Ayuk, and Rashad White? Rashad stayed, everyone else left. When they were together, they weren't able to get it done. So who are you faulting in that situation?
A coach?
And we all know who was there at the time.
You played to win the game.
Herm Edwards was there. Antonio Pierce was there. Whole bunch of violations going on. Come on now.
Joe in Bellevue says, DiNucci should go to the NBA. Take that, Austin. Take that. You know, the 30 is a wild number, too, because he's essentially implying I can make most of a roster out of NBA players.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, you can't.
That's a bold number to put out there.
There are no offensive linemen in the NBA right now.
No, and I saw people talking about it. They were like, what are you going to have Zion Williamson as a left tackle? No, you're not.
No, he's
a big,
edge rusher.
A different kind.
He's
edge rusher. He's not.
There's no offensive lineman. Big Baby Davis is gone.
No offensive lineman.
There was,
in the league.
What was the tractor back in the day? Tractor trailer back in the day?
Robert Trailer?
Yeah, he's gone.
There's a different kind of basketball now.
Yeah. Tripping.
Who is that kid with South Carolina?
DJ Burns.
He might be able to do it.
DJ Burns is going to have to play all five positions on the offensive
all
line.
All five. Yeah.
All right. Peter, I don't know how. Tractor Trailer. Did not know that.
He died?
Yeah. Damn. 2011.
Man.
I was going to say so day, recently yeah. and then felt 1,000 years old. It's not recently by any stretch of the imagination. You are listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Coming up, CBS Sports released their quarterback power rankings. It will not shock anyone to hear that, of course, Patrick Mahomes, multiple Super Bowl winning quarterback, is number one. You might be surprised to hear who's number two, though. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Bump and Stacey
on Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
Who doesn't love power rankings, right? It gives us a chance to fight about our player being disrespected. Quarterback power rankings from CBS Sports are out. Let's figure out if we agree or disagree with some of these, Bump. You will not be surprised at all to learn of the number one player. Of course, it's Patrick Mahomes. Now, you already know, because you saw this before I did, who the number two player is. I was very surprised. It's Brock Purdy.
Broccoli Purdy. Why is he number two? Is it his efficiency? Is it his touchdown to interception ratio, 31 to 11? Is it his rating? His rating, he's number two with 113. His QBR, he is number one with 72. When it comes to completion percentage, he is number four, 69.4. How many times did he throw the football? Not as much as a lot of other dudes. Only 444 times. That's good enough for 20th in the NFL. It's debatable. I'm not mad at this. I was surprised, but I'm not mad at this at all. I thought it'd be the usual order.
Allen, Burrow. So this is the top. I'll go through 10. Patrick Mahomes, Brock Purdy, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, a new entry at number five, C.J. Stroud, coming off a really strong rookie year. Lamar Jackson. I'm going to hit pause for just a second. Lamar Jackson quarterbacked the best team in the NFL last year. I know the Baltimore.
MVP.
Yeah. I know the Baltimore Ravens did not win the Super Bowl. They were, on paper, by DVOA, by most metrics, the best team in football last year. Sometimes the best team doesn't win. Look at the Braves last year in MLB. Look at the Dodgers. I'm surprised he's six.
He needs to be in front of CJ. He needs to be in front of Joe. Joe played 10 games last year.
That's what I'm saying.
He played 10 games.
Joe is a great quarterback who had a Super Bowl run and lost. Why is Lamar considered a worse passer or a worse quarterback than Joe Burrow and CJ Stroud?
Nah, I don't understand that one. I think he should be three or four. I think Josh Allen at three is fitting. Josh Allen can be as high as number two to me, honestly, just because he's going to account for over 40 touchdowns every single year. But no, I'm looking at that. It's Lamar Jackson disrespect. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's funny we're saying disrespect, but he's number six.
It is disrespect, though. And again, Lamar Jackson will forever face the same thing of, okay, but is he a passer? Joe Burrow, he can throw that thing around the yard. And it's like, yes, Lamar, look at his stats. He's a passer. Okay. Right. Number seven, Jalen Hurts, fine with that. He was not the problem with Philadelphia last year. Number eight, Dak Prescott. Interesting choice. He has overseen consecutive 3-3-3, 12-win seasons, number one offense in football, I think, by yards and scoring.
From September to December.
There's a lot of ball games.
My man wins ball games.
There's a lot of ball games during that time. 17 of them. TBD in the postseason, but still very great during the regular season. Justin Herbert, number nine.
Oh, can I? Let me say something about Justin
Herbert.
I already
know what you're going to say, and I can't wait.
All right. Everyone raves about his talent. Oh, the strongest arm in the league. Oh, he can make every single throw. He ain't winning ball games either. What is he doing over there? It's funny how Justin Herbert gets all the excuses. Oh, it's the coaching. It's this, it's that, and the third. But a guy like Lamar gets no excuses. Nothing. All right, he's expected just to win every single game and play perfectly. But then, for some reason, we hold Justin Herbert on this pedestal, and you talk about his talent. Guess what, Stacey? Everyone on this list got some talent. 1 through 10, man, they throwing hands right now. So Justin Herbert, I think he is talented. And I think maybe he hasn't benefited from the best of coaching. But still, can we get off of this? He needs to win some ball games first. Has he won a playoff game yet?
Justin Herbert?
I think he's got one, huh?
Did the the Chargers lost to the Jags. The Jags came back from behind, right? Yeah. No, he hasn't.
All right, then. All right, Justin. Like, I get it. You are talented, but we need to make him earn this one, man.
I agree with you. Jordan Love rounds out the top 10.
It's a bit premature for me with Jordan Love.
I think it's recency bias with Jordan Love.
Full of potential.
Yeah.
Won a playoff game.
Yes.
Would it be Dak and them? Be Dak and them at their house. Understand it. I need to see more. 11 should be at the 10 spot.
I think
or at the 9 spot.
I think that, yes. So 11 is Aaron Rodgers. I think you can make a case for any one of the following three quarterbacks to be in the top 10. Aaron Rodgers, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff.
Yeah.
They had better numbers this year.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Why are they not there? This is clickbait, and it's making me angry. It's doing its job.
Jared Goff, is he... 13. The most disrespected quarterback in this league right
now? When we did our disrespect meter earlier on three Mariners players, if we did three quarterbacks, Jared Goff would be one of them.
Yeah. You know who needs to be off this list?
Who?
Caleb, J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix. Get them off the list.
Why is Bo Nix even on here? Why are they even on here?
They shouldn't be on the list.
Who invited them?
They shouldn't be on the list. I know you want to fill up 32. All right, just make it 28 then. You know, like, why are they on this list? You don't know what. They've done nothing in the league yet. I think Caleb's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be fine. I think JJ's going to be fine. JJ's not even the starter on his team.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Nix hasn't won the job yet. We know Caleb and Daniels are going to do their thing. But don't just put them on the list to put them on the list. Then you put them in front of Gardner Minshew.
Basically, the entire, like, 22 through 32 are guys that are about to be out of a job on their second or third try with a team, or rookies or second-year players that didn't really get to show much, like Anthony Richardson is 24. Can I mention one more, though, in the top 20?
Yeah, let me say this real quick. Gardner Minshew has better stats than Trevor Lawrence over their career. He should be in front of Trevor Lawrence. Okay,
ooh, I like that because Trevor Lawrence is 15. You could make a case for Gardner Minshew belongs in the top 20 at least.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson's on here at 17. Now, that's not listen. That's not top 15.
You gotta be careful. You can't say his name. People are going to come for you.
It's not top 15. It's not top 10. It's not like he's being given a ton of respect. Deshaun Watson hasn't been really good since 2020 when he threw for 33 touchdowns, 4,800 yards. Yeah, great numbers. He has 14 touchdowns combined over the last two seasons, and during that time has 9 interceptions combined.
You said he ain't been great since 2020?
Yeah.
In 2020, I couldn't do the get off my lawn segment because I wasn't close to 40 yet.
Yeah.
Why is he on this list?
That's what I'm saying. We're going entirely off of, just like people are going off of potential when they list Caleb Williams on here at number 23, even though he hasn't done anything. Deshaun Watson is being listed here off of, like, what the Browns saw when they traded for him, player-wise.
What they should have done is made it a top 20 and called it good. That means Levis is gone, Caleb Richardson, J.J., Derek Brissett, Daniels, Minshew, Bo Nix, Young, Jones. Yeah, it should have made it a top 20 and called it good.
Yeah. Someone said, until a black mobile quarterback wins a Super Bowl. This will always be the narrative that Lamar like can't be a pet.
Well, there's
Russell
a half
Wilson
black,
was pretty mobile.
There's a half black mobile quarterback who's got three of them things
yeah.
right now.
Did I miss where Geno is? Thank you for reminding me. There's a quarterback in Seattle I need to talk about. I should do my job. 18, Geno Smith, just behind Deshaun Watson. I'd be annoyed if I was Geno. I'd be heated if
for
I was
real.
Geno behind Deshaun Watson, who I'm leaving obviously the most important things around his career off the table right now. I'm just looking at numbers. Has not had a better career than Geno at all over the last two seasons. It doesn't matter about potential.
Nah.
It doesn't matter about ceiling. It doesn't matter about upside. It doesn't matter about the seasons he's had in 2020 or prior. Over the last 2 years, has done nothing. Yes, he was suspended for 11 games during that time, but wasn't great when he came back, was not good last year, even though he was injured. Injury and suspension aside, he wasn't good when he played.
I'm okay with Geno being at 18 if Deshaun Watson is beneath, you know, at like 19 or something. Geno Smith should 18 is not a bad spot for Geno. I'm completely fine with that. You can bump him up to 17 and move Deshaun Watson out the mix. But who's right below Geno Smith?
One Russell Wilson.
He might not even have that job the whole year over there in Pittsburgh.
Is Justin Fields on here? Did I miss him?
Nah, he ain't on that.
So you're about if I'm okay now. Justin Fields hasn't done a lot, but Derek Carr and Daniel Jones have both at least appeared in the playoffs. And two rookies are listed ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be so mad. Someone said Geno should be 20 or 23. Nah.
Nah, look at this list.
So.
If you look at this list, 2023. So you're going to put Russell, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Will Levis, and Caleb in front of them is what you're saying.
Nah. I mean, I do think there are fans that would be like, yeah, I'd love to have Caleb Williams number one. But in terms of what someone's proven, I think Geno is in this camp where he belongs, where you've got like, you got Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Kyler's there. I think Kyler could be a little higher.
Yeah, he could be, but you know, he only played in what, 8 games last year.
Yeah. All right, get your questions in for What I Need to Know. You are less than an hour away, 866-979-3776. Don't go anywhere.